Welcome to Strength for Today, the preaching ministry of the Central Florida Bible Church, an independent, fundamental, non-denominational Bible church in Winter Park, seeking to proclaim the whole counsel of God, to point all to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to do all, as stated in Revelation 1:9, for the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Our speaker is Central Florida Bible Church's pastor, John Pereira. You may wish to have paper and pen for important information following the message. For more information regarding prior broadcast and other sermons by Pastor John, please visit our website, www.strengthfortoday.info. That's www.strengthfortoday.info. Now, here is Pastor John proclaiming the strength for today.
Today in our Strength for Today Bible broadcast, we're going to be looking at a topic that, as a pastor and counselor, I often have to deal with. And the issue is why people doubt their salvation. You know, God desires that every true believer in Christ be assured of his or her salvation. The Lord declared to his disciples in John chapter 14 and verse 18, "I will not leave you comfortless." The Greek word for comfortless is the word orphanoi, where we get the word today, orphan. Would not every fit and proper parent want their children to know who their identity and their family roots belong to? Yet our Lord is of utmost desire in desiring his people to know their identity as children of God. Our Lord wants us to know for sure that we're his children, and with that full knowledge of his presence, we have assurance of salvation. Why is it that so many professing believers doubt their salvation? I'd like to deal with the seven major reasons why people can doubt their salvation. There may be others, but these are the seven major reasons that I find coming up over and over again in my counseling experience. First of all, the first major reason why professing believers can doubt their salvation is that they've never come truly to the point of personally receiving Christ as personal Savior. The Bible says in the book of John, chapter 1, and verse 12, "But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Many individuals have never come to the place where they truly have repented of their sins and called upon the name of the Lord in sincere and true salvation. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8 and verse 16 that the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. But if a person does not possess the Holy Spirit through having received Christ as personal Savior, they're not going to have the Holy Spirit assurance that the indwelling ministry of the Holy Spirit can provide. As a matter of fact, Paul put it very, very bluntly, as he says in Romans 8 and verse 9, that those that do not have the Spirit of God are none of his. They are not truly children of God. So I would ask you today, if you're doubting your salvation and the assurance of your salvation, simply I would ask you, have you come to the place that you have received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Call upon him right now. Settle that issue. Drive the stake into the ground and truly receive Jesus Christ, the one who died and shed his blood on your behalf. And his Spirit will enter into you when you receive Jesus Christ as personal Savior. The Spirit of God, as its purpose, is to provide assurance of salvation. Another reason, number two, why individuals doubt their salvation is simply because they have been improperly taught. There are churches, there are religious groups that teach that it is presumptuous for a person to believe that they can know that they have eternal life. There are religious groups that teach that justification is progressive rather than instantaneous, that one's salvation and being declared as righteous before God can never be a present possession, but has to be sought after and reached out after through works and diligent effort and sacraments and ordinances. All of these things, finally, perhaps, after suffering in purgatory and suffering in the Christian life prior to that period, the matter of eternal life may be attained. But yet God's Word, speaking to believers, in 1 John 5:13 says, "These things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." You see, believing in Jesus Christ as personal Savior allows you to know that you have eternal life. We can believe on the name of the Son of God and have that confidence that we have in Him, that we know our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you going to a Bible-believing church that preaches the Word of God and rightly divides the Word of truth and that teaches that you can know that you have eternal life? A third reason that I oftentimes encounter for individuals that doubt their salvation is that many believers were saved at a very early age. And often, well-meaning preachers and evangelists and counselors may come and say, "Unless you can remember the exact time, the exact day, the exact place of your salvation, then you never really were saved." It's not my purpose to judge motives of those that would seek to do it. Whether individuals are looking to put notches on their gun belt to provide numbers to headquarters about their success of decisions that are made in meetings. But I'll say this, that it's spiritual malpractice for individuals to cause believers to doubt their salvation when they cannot remember the exact day and place in which they were saved. The truth of the matter is, I don't remember being born physically. And yet I know I'm here because I can touch myself and I can feel my pulse and I can check my vitals and I could talk with people that see me. And my present situation determines the reality of my birth. So simply, when I encounter someone who comes to me and says, "Pastor John, someone told me that I'm not really saved because I can't remember the exact place, the exact circumstances," my answer is this: what do you believe right now? What are you trusting in as the basis for your salvation right now as we speak? God's Word says in Psalm 107, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." I want you to tell me right now what you're trusting in. Speak to me from your heart. Oftentimes individuals will say, "Well, I'm trusting in Jesus alone. I know I can't save myself. I know that Jesus shed His blood and paid the price for my soul's salvation. And I have received Jesus Christ. I know it in my heart, but I don't remember the exact time or place, but I know I'm there." Am I going to doubt that person's possession of salvation? I better be very careful if I'm willing to do that. Oftentimes, individuals will come to me for a fourth reason as to why they doubt their salvation. I call this an unstable home life. You know, it's sad as we see Satan wreaking havoc in homes today. God's purpose for a home is to provide a spiritual laboratory of Christian values, where parents live out Christian values and truths before their children, who are observing what really makes the Christian life work. And parents are to adorn the doctrine of God and demonstrate to children that the Christian life in the power of the Spirit of God can indeed be lived out. But what do we see today? We see Satan attacking the home. We see and realize that Satan is seeking to wreak as much havoc in the home so that he can destroy the biblical template that will guide children as a frame of reference to establish their own homes. You know, a child's first concept of a heavenly father will often be the role model of his earthly father. Dads, I'm coming to you today as I would come to myself and ask myself today, what type of picture am I painting of Jesus Christ? What early markings am I leaving in the lives of those around me, those closest to me? Am I influencing them towards an early faith in Christ by being a faithful earthly father? Or are we putting graffiti and defacing the image of Christ by the lack of a biblical testimony? This explains why Satan is so viciously attacking the home today at every front. You listening to my voice know, every day you turn on the news and you hear of child abandonment. You hear of divorce. You hear of sexual abuse and perversion. Why is it that Satan seems to be attacking the home? Why is it that Satan is seeking to cause so many to redefine what marriage is? And he's trying to deface the heterosexual union that Christ authenticated in Matthew chapter 19 when he said, "Know ye not that he who made them in the beginning made them male and female? Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and be joined unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh, and what God has joined together, let not man put asunder." In Deuteronomy chapter 6, the word of God was restated for an up-and-coming new generation that entered into the land. And here we have Moses' instructions. And he says, "These words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." And he's speaking to parents. God's word must first be a matter of the heart in our lives as parents before we can inculcate Christian standards in the lives of our children. And then it says, "Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up. And you'll bind them for a sign upon your hand. They shall be as frontlets between thine eyes." God's word is a matter of the heart first, parents, if it's going to be a matter of the home. And Christian education is not something that is done just on Sunday, but it's done as a way of life. As you sit in your home, as you walk by the way, as you lie down, and as you rise up, Christian education is a matter of the home and a matter of habit. And yet an unstable home life is the best, or should I say, the worst of the ingredients to set up individuals to doubt their salvation. A fifth reason in my counseling why I often see individuals doubting their salvation is that there is often known, unconfessed sin and very little spiritual growth in the life of that believer. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 10, the Apostle Peter deals with spiritual arithmetic for Christian growth. He deals with grace and peace being multiplied. See, the Lord wants us to grow in spades. He wants us to practice spiritual multiplication. He wants cellular growth, multiplicity of cellular growth in our lives by spiritual relationship with Christ. And the Word of God says in verse 5, not only are we to multiply, but we're to add. Yes, add to our faith goodness, and to goodness virtue and knowledge, and to knowledge self-control and patience and godliness. You see, we need to be adding. We need to be progressing, going on in the Christian life. That's why Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. That speaks about multiplication and addition and growth in the Christian life. But sad to say, there are some in 2 Peter 1:9 that were not multiplying and adding, but they were practicing subtraction in the Christian life. They were going backwards rather than forward. And Peter said, he that lacks these things, what things? Spiritual growth, obedience. He that lacks these things is blind, cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. In other words, he's doubting his salvation. He's forgotten. He's grown myopic, nearsightedness, spiritual tunnel vision, sad to say. Is there unconfessed sin in your life? Confess it before the Lord. Don't let it drag you backwards. Go forward in the Christian life. Follow the Lord. Grow spiritually. One of the favorite practices of my children is to measure themselves against the wall with a yardstick and chart their physical growth. Never do you see them getting smaller. They're always growing. I see my boys growing 4, 5, 6 inches in 1 year. It's amazing. And they always proudly look at their advancement, their addition and multiplication physically, both in height and weight. That's the way it ought to be in the Christian life. Spiritual growth abounding. A sixth reason why professing believers often doubt their salvation is they are simply not spending enough time in the Word of God. You know, in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, the Bible tells us that our faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If we're not properly involved in a spiritual diet of spiritual nourishment, we're not going to grow. A baby that does not eat properly and does not find proper nourishment and love and care is going to pine away and is not going to grow properly. That's true with babes in Christ as well. We are to desire the sincere milk of the Word, as Peter said, that we might grow thereby. Oh, we need to spend time in the Word of God. Oftentimes, spiritual detours, sin will enter into the life of a believer because they're not in the Word of God, reading God's Word. And there are so many helps that can encourage us towards growth in the Word of God. Spend time in the Word of God. Finally, let me share with you a seventh reason why professing believers can doubt their salvation. And that takes us to Romans chapter 14, which deals with the spiritual weaker brother. You know, Romans 14 deals with a believer that has been stressing ritual in their life rather than relationship. And it's true in Bible-believing churches today, we can get caught up in ritualism, and we forget our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. A legalistic approach towards Christianity is indeed another reason why believers may doubt their salvation. Ritual has often been stressed in many, many local churches rather than a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's face it, it's easier to tell people what to do rather than have them grow. I suppose if I had a brown lawn outside of my yard, I could take some green spray paint and spray that lawn green. And in a matter of 15 minutes, it would look green. But the problem is, I've just camouflaged it. I haven't dealt with the root problem of nourishment. But if I'm truly going to have the right kind of green lawn, I'm going to have to spray it for weeds. I'm going to see to it that the ground is properly nourished with fertilizer, that bugs and those little critters that will destroy the life of grass are removed. And it takes time and effort. So does discipleship making. As local churches, we cannot afford to take shortcuts in creating disciples. We are to teach all things whatsoever God has commanded us. We can be guilty as pastors and Christian leaders of motivating people to do things in church by guilt because we want them to act quickly and respond to our leadership. We can create an environment where spirituality is determined by adherence to lists and regulations rather than Holy Spirit conviction from growing in the Word of God. Believers oftentimes can practice concealed pride, where they try to reach their own standards. And then they say, well, I'm not good enough. And they fixate on themselves rather than unto the Lord. Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2 says that we are to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So what are the solutions to these 7 reasons why people can often doubt their salvation? First of all, turn to Christ, who alone can meet God's standards. It's the righteousness of Jesus Christ that needs to be imputed to our lives by personal faith in Jesus Christ. Call upon Him. Receive Him as your personal Savior. That's where the Christian life begins, by coming to Christ and being saved and having the Holy Spirit come to live in your heart. Secondly, confess your sin of pride and self-will. The thought that you have the ability to live the Christian life apart from God's power. Stop looking at yourself. Look to Jesus. Galatians 2:20 reminds us that it is Christ that lives in us. It is the Christ power in us that enables us to live the Christian life. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Look to Jesus, who is the author and finisher of your faith. Not to your environment, not to other people that have let you down. Yes, you may have come from a dysfunctional home where there have not been the role models that ought to be there. But don't use that as an excuse. There are local churches and there are believers in Christ that are seeking to provide the right example. And certainly our Lord has done so. Our Lord was undefiled, separate from sinners, the perfect one who God accepted as the price for our salvation. Look to Jesus. Then, fourthly, seek to be controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. Daily, God's Word says, don't be drunk with wine, wherein is excess. Don't allow any external crutches to control you, but only the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that we are to seek to be daily filled by. Begin your day asking God to control your attitudes, your actions, your activities. Seek to be controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. It is the purpose of the Holy Spirit to grant assurance of salvation. And His Spirit will comfort. His Spirit will guide. His Spirit will bear witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. And fifthly, and I close with this, grow in a Bible-teaching, Bible-believing church that properly teaches God's Word about this and other vital doctrines of the faith. Don't go to a church that will just seek to entertain and seek to get together on the lowest common denominator of truth so that they can be all things to everybody and make everybody happy. You go to a church that's preaching the Word of God without fear and without compromise. And God will bless you. If we can be of ministry to any of you listening to my voice today, you've been doubting your salvation, I'd encourage you to get in touch with us at the information provided at the end of our broadcast. We're here to help you. We're here as a local church in Central Florida to minister to your spiritual needs. Come worship with us this coming Lord's Day. And I assure you, the best will be yet to come.
Thank you for tuning in to Strength for Today, the radio preaching ministry of the Central Florida Bible Church that meets in the Goldenrod Station, located in Winter Park, just three traffic lights east of Cimarron Boulevard at the intersection of Aloma and Palmetto. For more information about Central Florida Bible Church, to comment on the broadcast, to request a complimentary copy of today's message, or to listen to some of the other 500 messages by Pastor John, please visit our website, www.strengthfortoday.info. That's www.strengthfortoday.info. Or you may call Pastor John Pereira at 407-656-9683. That's 407-656-9683. This is Charles Schafe inviting you to come and worship with us tomorrow at the 10 a.m. Bible study classes for all ages and the 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. preaching services. Our prayer service is Wednesday at 7 p.m. May the Lord richly bless you as you go forth to serve Him.